Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I want to read the words of Jesus to you and over you this morning. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For the past few weeks, we've been exploring where we're at in our relationship with Jesus and also dreaming as church leadership and staff, dreaming about what the future holds for us and quite honestly, recovering from the past year and going, oh my goodness, we're still here. In a lot of ways, as a pastor and as a leader in this church community, it feels like getting into March of 2021 feels like after a fender bender where you're like, oh my goodness, this big thing just happened, and you're checking like, okay, we've still got hands, we've still got arms, but you still feel a little shaky. And when I feel like that, or when I get lost, which is quite often, it's important to reorient yourself and figure out where you are, what you're supposed to be doing. And here at Solid Ground, we're about changed lives and doing whatever we can, short of sin, to remove barriers in people's lives or in our environment, to any barrier that would keep someone from experiencing a relationship with Jesus. And we've been exploring what the roadmap of a changed life looks like. And we have 2,000 years of fathers and mothers who have come before us explaining what the journey looks like from waking up from our dead life, our sleepwalking life, our sin life, all the way to this life that's in union and constant connection. The Bible talks about abiding in the vine and all the stages in between there. And for some of you, before you go on a road trip, you love to look up the GPS and know the alternate routes. I did that especially before GPS because I would get lost in a paper bag if I was left to my own devices. So I'd study the roadmap. But some of you, when you hear that, you're thinking, okay, I just want to go. Let's just get moving. What do we got with us? So today we're not talking about the roadmap of the spiritual journey and not going to be super academic and talk to you about stage theory and things like that. Today I want to talk to you about a very simple equipment that God has given us as we're on this journey. And the very words of Jesus that I read over you this morning, he's given us a very simple tool that's often overlooked in our life, and a tool that I believe with all of my heart that our culture is searching for. They're just looking in the wrong places. And it's this yoke of Jesus. And before we read that, I want to read that text over you again. Just a couple of thoughts about it. You know, Jesus was a rabbi in the first century. He was way more. Yes, he was God in human form, the Word made flesh, God with flesh and blood moving into the neighborhood. But if you were in the first century in Palestine and Jesus came to your village or your synagogue, you would recognize him as a rabbi or a traveling sage teacher. And every rabbi had two things. The first thing they had is a yoke, which is their teaching. And since most of us aren't living in an agrarian farmer society, it seems like a little bit of a strange image for us. So we have to do a little bit of work to backtrack what it meant to those folks. But a yoke, in the literal sense, was something that you put on a farm animal, usually an ox, so that they could be hitched up to a plow or a wagon and they would pull it, and it allowed them to do heavy work. And a rabbi's yoke, a teacher, especially in the first century, a rabbi's yoke meant it was their interpretation of God's laws. It was their interpretation of Torah and the Hebrew scriptures. And also it was their teaching on how to be human, how to get through the muck and rough stuff of life, of marriage and jobs and conflict and divorce and death and illness. It was their yoke. And it was very strange for Jesus It would have been very strange for Jesus to say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So the first thing a rabbi has is a yoke. And the second thing a rabbi has is talmidim. That's the Hebrew word for disciples, or a more updated version of disciples is apprentice. We don't have a lot of disciples in our culture, and we don't have as many apprentices that we used to have. And in the first century, an apprentice of a rabbi wouldn't just go after the head knowledge. From kindergarten to especially senior year in high school, I did not want to become my teacher. I wanted to know what was in my teacher's head so I could get a good grade. The rabbi-apprentice relationship was completely different. It wasn't just head knowledge. The apprentice wanted to become the rabbi and copy even the most minute detail, whether it was their prayers. Some would even go as far to follow in their footsteps as they were traveling along to actually become their rabbi. And what an amazing picture that is of us, that we are so close to Jesus, that the result is that we become like Jesus. And as Jesus walked around and inviting people to come follow him, they were saved from the emptiness of their lives. And as we read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm finding it's just blowing my mind that the same word, soteria, is used for when Jesus heals someone or also when Jesus saves someone. That's where we get, as the word evolved from Greek, Latin, salve. Salvation comes from a salve, like a ointment. That's such a weird word, but that you put on a burn or a wound. So just note that in the coming weeks, whenever you read that word of healed or saved, you're reading the same word. And Jesus's yoke would rescue people from the emptiness and brokenness and hopelessness of their lives. And he would say, come follow me, or he would say, come be my apprentice. So today, I just wanna share Jesus's words and Jesus's equipment that he's given all of us for this journey that we're on towards union with God. So I'm gonna read this a couple times on purpose, not because I forgot what the scripture is, but as I'm praying for you and preparing these, I felt strongly in my gut that I wanted to make sure that we just mention, like I mentioned before, we just finished 2020 and we're still not out of the woods yet. I think this is God's message to us now, but also this equipment, this pattern of life has helped the people who've come before us, our fathers and mothers in the faith, for 2,000 years, and they faced situations that were bigger than them as well. They were different. It's not copy and paste, but we have a pretty good track record of how to get through uncertain times, how to get through times where people are hostile to our way of life and to Jesus's way of life. We don't have to make this stuff up. And we have it right here. So what I'd like you to do is, no matter what's going on in your week, no matter what's going on before you watch this, I want you to just even put your palms down and just set all of that aside for a moment. And if you would, just close your eyes. And I'm going to read this a couple times slowly over you. And hopefully you'll actually hear the words of Jesus in this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, just take a couple breaths. I'm going to read it maybe a little bit slower this time. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can open your eyes now. I'm going to read you the paraphrase of this from Eugene Peterson. There's some really good stuff in here. He puts it like this, Jesus saying, "Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I mean, the unforced rhythms of grace. How amazing is that? This is an invitation to people back then. They were going through just harrowing circumstances. A foreign power oppressing them, not knowing many of them where their next meal was going to come from or whether they would be okay once the seasons changed. Jesus is saying, "I'll show you how to get away from this. I'll show you how to get through this. I'll give you what you need." This is our invitation too. A lot of us are tired, burnt out, stressed, and feeling like we're stuck. Some of us have literally been stuck in our homes for months and months, or stuck in a way of life that we do not like. And this was true before 2020 as well. Just from the pressure and the busyness of our culture, it is and it has been crushing for a long time. There's a BuzzFeed article by Ann Peterson. It's called "How Millennials Became the Burnt Out Generation." Ann Peterson comments, "Burnout isn't a place to visit and come back from. It's our permanent residence. What used to be the isolated experience from a New York day trader or an emergency room physician is now the reality for most people." And she goes on to give this elaborate critique of the $11 billion self-actualization industry and its inability to fix things with just a day spa to work our problems out and recover from burnout. But after all of these lengthy discussions and the diagnosis, her only attempted solution to fix this was democratic socialism and unions. She was saying, "We are beginning to understand what ails us, and it's not something an oxygen facial or a treadmill desk can fix." Now, I don't get excited about forms of government and all of that kind of stuff, but Jesus is offering something so much better than an ideology on a certain side of a political spectrum. He's saying, "I can take you through anything." And if you're wearing something, if you're pulling something that's burning you out, that's giving you loads and loads of anxiety or depression, like, my yoke doesn't do that. It doesn't fit poorly. Like, Jesus's way of life is meant to fit. And it's much better than essential oils for fixing all of our problems, though I do love a good essential oil. So at this point, I have in my notes just to talk about those of you that may feel stuck. You say, "Okay, I'm following Jesus right now. I've been following Jesus for a long time. Why do I feel tired? Why do I feel stuck? Like, am I not following Jesus? Am I doing this wrong?" Just want you to invite you to breathe it out. Woosa. Like, it's going to be okay. Life comes at us, especially for those of us who are in middle ages, which I think goes from anywhere from about 25 to 90. Like, some of us are old souls and some of us, you know, we're in different stages of our emotional journey and life. Like, I want to get to this in a couple weeks, but as we progress in our life and we've made our commitments, we move from, like, in our young stages of trying to control all of our energy and all of our thoughts, like, "Ooh, what am I going to do with all this? Because this doesn't line up with Jesus. How do I control all of this?" And as we grow and mature and we have conduits and containers for all this energy that will hold it, we wake up someday and realize, "Oh, I'm 35. This is who I am. And I'm waking up to an alarm clock every day. I used to just pop awake and there's kids crying or there's bills to pay or there's dysfunction at work or my grandkids are going off the rails, or, you know, how in the world did I get here? There's stuff that life throws at us. And when we have that impulse of like, whoa, 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 I'm tired, I'm empty. This is the moment where Jesus invites you, saying, okay, give it to me again. And Jesus isn't gonna say, give it to me again. I've told you this before. It's my yoke, dummy. Like, no, that's not Jesus's heart. Saying, okay, this is the time where you point your heart back towards me. I'm the source. I'm what you need. You've probably heard me say it, this guy's name, so many times, but I'm going to quote him again. Dallas Willard says this: in this lies the secret of the easy yoke. The secret involves living as Jesus lived in the entirety of his life, adopting his overall lifestyle. Our mistake is to think that following Jesus consists in loving our enemies, going the second mile, turning the other cheek, suffering patiently and hopefully, while living the rest of our lives just as everyone else around us does. It's a strategy bound to fail. I came out of my family of origins, church, you know, believing the right things and excited about that thing, truth. I wouldn't trade that for anything. But in my tradition, the actual way of Jesus wasn't emphasized. Every now and then there would be a comment in a sermon, and what is it about us Christians who've been following Jesus for a long time? We don't think a sermon's good sometimes unless it really hurts, until the pastor would say, the divorce rate among Christians is the same as it is in the world, and we do the same things that the world, all the statistics, and those things are all true. But maybe I just missed it. I never heard about the invitation to the things that accompany the truth. But what about the way? Like, what are the rhythms of my life? I define it like this: the lifestyle of Jesus, the rhythms and routines that made up Jesus's daily life. I never thought about copying those. And I think, especially in my 20s and moving into my 30s, that was one of the biggest blocks. I'm still on the journey. Yeah, I haven't fixed everything yet, but one of the biggest blocks to moving forward in my life and to abiding with Jesus and experiencing him all the time was because I had all this head knowledge, but it hadn't yet moved down into my heart. And copying the rhythms and the routines of Jesus is one way to actually use our bodies to move all this head knowledge down into our heart. I think I mentioned before that I lived in Austin, Texas, a hip town, for 7 years, from 2005 to 2012. Just a little story to illustrate what I'm talking about. And there was tech companies moving in. It was exciting time. It's hip. So many people walking around in skinny jeans. It was just, and of course, in 100 degree humidity. So that was one thing. But in this, we got to live in this. We got an incredible deal on this little tiny rental house in the hip part of town. And it was a hilly part of town. And so runners would go through. And I run, but I'm not a runner. And especially back then, I was running a lot, but these folks would run by and you could hear them coming because they were like all in step as they were prancing. I mean, running like gazelles, and they had on tights and they looked good. They looked like an advertisement for Adidas or whoever, whatever clothes they were wearing. And I'm talking like single digit body fat. And those guys, I mean, running, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm gonna look like that. I'm gonna do that. And they were always running past my house, or, you know, they were probably doing the warm up and I was at top speed as they're passing me by. And the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to be healthy. But I was thinking, what have they invested to look like that and to run that fast? You know, they're pushing their lungs to the breaking point. And you know, I'm inside many times as they're running by, watching Star Trek and eating Cheetos. That's purely hypothetical, I promise. But I'm like, wow, they're really going for it. Or if I woke up early and I'm having my organic black coffee and they're running by and I'm listening to U2 trying to wake up, I'm thinking like, yeah, that lifestyle looks good, but I'm not willing to invest. Like I didn't sign up for that. And sometimes this is where we get stuck in our faith. And the irony is we think that doing things our way, following our rhythms, living exactly like the culture around us lives with a little bit of Jesus on the side, we think, okay, this is the easy way to live. But I don't want to give up this. And it may be a perfectly fine thing, not a sinful thing. I like my binge watching Netflix. I like overeating. I like this stuff. And it's like culturally like okay. But sometimes we use those things to numb us from facing what's really going on in our life. And we take our yoke and pull our load with those things that we think will solve our problems, or one more pair of shoes, or one more, and there's nothing wrong with shoes. But there's so many ways we try to numb the pain of life. And Jesus is saying, I've got the answer. I can take you through that. And it's actually lighter than the things the world or your culture has come up with to numb your pain. And these things, we see in Jesus, same thing. Like he's so grounded. He knows who he is. He's able to say, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. He's able to know when to say, you know, we're not going to take that amazing opportunity, or we're not going to rush to this place. I've lost count. Like Jesus is always interrupted, but we never hear Jesus saying, oh, gosh, I've told you this 100 times, or, hey, Jesus, can you do this? What publication are you from? You want me to do an interview? Like we never see him like looking past people in all of his interruptions and think, wow, I want to live that life. But when it comes to prayer, abiding with Jesus, looking at our shadow side, sometimes it admittedly, like that's the rough stuff of life. But Jesus's invitation is to follow him in every facet of his life. And when we do, we realize some of the tools that we've been using to pull our own load aren't really working. You know, this isn't in my notes at all, but this Christmas we got a trampoline for my daughter, and I tried to put it together in the dark, and I missed a very, very important part. There's an actual tool that helps you pull the springs into place. So for hours, I was pulling these strings with my bare hands and getting cuts all over my hands and wrenching them together. And my back was killing me from twisting. I was thinking, my chiropractor is going to love me. And I got all of them on. And then I realized I did them wrong. And there was one dangling spring in between two hooks. And the other space was on the completely other side. And I was like, what a picture of the way we can get into messes when we're not using the right tools. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke. Don't solve your problems. Don't try to soothe and salve your anxiety, your depression, the way that the world does by numbing out or a substance. Why do you think there's so much addiction in the world? Like we're searching for something because life is hard. And Jesus is saying, I have the solution. If you follow me, I'll get you through this, not around it, not under it, but I can take you through even the valley of the shadow of death. So as we think about our lives, I'm not a motivational speaker or business guy, but I try to learn from everybody. And borrowing from the business world, there's the saying, every system is perfectly designed to get the results that it's currently getting. Your life and my life is perfectly designed to get the results we're getting right now. Do we have anxiety? It's going to be different for everybody. Is your anxiety at a constant simmer? Are we just always carrying around a mild depression? Do we have high levels of stress? Do we have chronic burnout because we don't have an awareness of our own boundaries and limitations as a human being? Do we have no sense of God's presence? Do we have trouble focusing our mind? I read one social commentator realized that most people in our culture have the attention span of a goldfish or just under. If that's you, and it may not be you, there may be something out of whack. And what harm does it do to try something different and to go back to the start, to Jesus' invitation to come follow him and use that as a starting place to hit the reset button on our rhythms of life? I mean, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Let's take stock of our lives and look at our lives and say, are we carrying things Jesus never asked us to carry? Are we believing things that, you know, Jesus never said about us? We can go through the motions, you know, and just be cultural Christians and just attend church and then go back to our normal life. We can keep God in a corner, or we can take stock of what's going on in our emotions, our hearts, our relationships, and saying, am I really following Jesus in all of these ways? So here's what works. Like theology and ethics, that's great. A lot of us who've been following Jesus for a while, like we know these things are important, and doctrines and believing the right things. Yes, yes, yes. Do not get rid of those. And at the same time, add in the lifestyle of Jesus, unhurried, unaffected by, or seemingly unaffected by all the pressures and demands and interruptions to his life. But for us, that may look like I mentioned before, binge watching a little bit less. One episode of Star Trek is fine, but when you're numbing everything in your life with six episodes of Star Trek all in one time, and I'm picking on Star Trek because I've got my fingers pointed at myself. Like the lifestyle of Jesus, is there room in there for prayer? Is there room in there for reflection and for actually listening to God? Is there room in our, are we making room in our life to just get quiet and say, you know what, I'm gonna read the Gospel of Matthew and look at what was important to Jesus in his yoke, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, his teaching, and say, how does that line up with my priorities? And maybe there are some things I can drop off. And when we do, we'll realize, oh my goodness, I wasn't even supposed to be carrying that around. Like I can give that problem over to Jesus. And I may have to do it dozens or hundreds or thousands more times, but I'm going to keep letting Jesus carry the stuff he's supposed to carry. And I'm going to carry this yoke, which is following him and copying his patterns and adopting the things that were important to him. Going back to that yoke, there's a scholar on Matthew, Frederick Dale Bruner, that says this, and we're coming in for a landing. He says, a yoke is a work instrument. Thus, when Jesus offers a yoke, he offers what we might think tired workers need least. They need a mattress or a vacation, not a yoke. I hope you're laughing right now, because that makes so much sense. When you're tired and worn out, you know, the first part of that teaching that Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. My yoke. Wait a minute. There's work? Especially farm work? All of you who grew up in a farm, you know what I'm talking about. But he goes, when I'm stressed out, I don't want a yoke. I don't want to go out and plow a field. I want to go down to Laguna Beach and chill out and float in the water for a while. But he continues, but Jesus realized that the most restful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. Realism sees that life is a succession of burdens. We cannot get away from them. Thus, instead of offering escape, Jesus offers equipment. Jesus means that obedience to his Sermon on the Mount, his yoke, will develop in us a balance and a way of carrying life that will give us more rest than the way we have been living. And that's what Jesus is confronting, and it was a problem in the first century, and we're still facing it in 2021. This myth of an easy life. Wise people from inside and even outside of the Christian tradition have come to the conclusion for thousands of years, life is hard, period. Like life is hard, and our world has tried to come up with so many hacks and gimmicks and gadgets and quick fixes. But really, the only thing that works is living the way Jesus designed us to live, and going to Him as our source, not some new scheme. And the thing that works is copying his habits and the things he did, because he was always close to the source. He and the Father were one. They were unified in union, and it allowed him to do amazing things and to endure horrible, horrible challenges. But he went through it with a sense of peace and calm, even the stuff that hurt. So our challenge this week is to pick up Jesus's yoke and to examine, what does it look like? And read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And if you're a real go-getter, read a little bit more, but read those three chapters every day this week. I'm going to be doing it and saying, here's Jesus's yoke. Have I been pulling something that I'm not supposed to? Have I been carrying something that's too heavy for me? So start in Matthew and look for his habits too. How often he goes away to pray. How often he says no to good opportunities. And of course, notice what he teaches and notice that truth. And I just wanna take a second here to say, if you've never followed Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to him, that's the invitation right now. Or maybe you've wandered far off, and you know that you're carrying things you shouldn't be carrying, and you're headed in a direction even you didn't want to go to. Now's your moment to turn your heart back to Jesus and surrender. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you just join your heart with this, and the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he'll forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Like, you'll be saved. You'll be healed. Your healing will start. So wherever you are, I invite you to join this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, something in our hearts is telling us that you're real. Something in our hearts is telling us that there are things we could let go of. As we let go of them, we repent of trying to do things our own way. We turn away from that. We thank you for your forgiveness. We confess with our mouths that you are Lord. We believe it in our hearts, and we ask that you would give us wisdom and light our path so that we can follow you and copy you and be with you so that we can become like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, my friends, an easy life isn't an option, but an easy yoke is. And as you continue on your journey and taking the next steps and following Jesus, I want you to know you don't have to do it alone. You know, scripture tells us that Jesus will never leave us and never forsake us, but he's also given us each other. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us in the comments down below, or reach out to us at sgbic.com. We're all in different stages, but we do not have to do this alone. So as you go out this week, following Jesus, I'd like to say a prayer for you and a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine down upon you. As you copy him and are spending time with him, may you sense God smiling at you, and may God give you extra heaping, soaking doses of his peace and presence this week. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We really do. Have a good week.